Paul Wilson is General Manager of Building and Technology Innovation at RVO, a business that constructs and designs passive houses. Paul, good morning to you.
Good morning, John.
Supercapacitors for beginners, please.
Okay, well, a chemical battery is a bit different to a supercapacitor. A chemical battery uses an electrochemical reaction to store electricity. A supercapacitor uses electrostatic methods to store electricity. So that's really the fundamental difference. Effectively, you can imagine if you ever jumped on a trampoline and then you touch your friend and they get a static shock.
Yep.
Well, that energy is electrostatic energy stored on the surface of the material. A supercapacitor works in the same way. So a supercapacitor really is...
Without the trampoline, though.
Without the trampoline, yes. But it's a capacitor with an enormous amount of surface area inside.
Right.
So
Close to being commercially available or viable is it?
We've already installed the first system in Australia, in Warrandyte. So it's up and running now.
And when you say system, what does it look like?
It's a turnkey home energy system, which is a full three-phase system. So it basically allows the owner to run as a full off-grid home using the supercapacitors instead of an electrochemical battery.
So they don't have to be connected to the power poles and things outside in the street?
No, they don't have to be. We've left them on the grid because then they can export all their spare energy. But there's enough energy storage in the supercapacitors to run them through every night, so they don't have to buy any electricity. They only ever sell electricity.
Okay, and they have solar collectors?
They do. They've got a large solar array as well to generate the power.
But instead of storing it in batteries, they're storing it in a supercapacitor?
Yeah, that's right. So each capacitor cell is about the size of your finger, and inside each cell there's about 4 acres of surface area.
Say that again?
You can imagine if you took a piece of graphite, which is halfway between coal and diamond. A graphite sheet is almost like a single layer of carbon.
So it's like a very thin film.
It's like sheets. You know the graphite that they use in locks to lubricate them?
Yep.
It's like a dry powder.
That's a powder,
well,
yeah.
The reason it works so well as a lubricant is because there's sheets of graphite that actually slip across each other.
Yep.
If you peel off one of those layers, an atom thick, you have graphene. Graphene is
so. Is it like the intestine, the human intestine, where it's a huge area all compressed into a tiny space?
Exactly right. Yep. So it's all about surface area. Same in your lungs. So the surface area of each cell is 4 acres, and inside one of our modules, which we've combined all the supercapacitors together, there's 2,400 supercapacitors, which means we've got 9,600 acres of surface area inside this box, about the size of 3 shoeboxes.
Wow. So you can put enough of that. How big is the entire installation then? What's it look like?
We've built it into 3 cabinets, so it was prefabricated in our warehouse in Mitcham.
Cabinets the size of?
Size of maybe one of those double-door cabinets you put all your stationery away inside of.
So it looks like, what, a modern double-door fridge?
Yeah, something like that. So there's 3 of those in a row, 1 per phase. You could do a single-phase house and just use 1 cabinet. This was a bigger
house. Your ordinary domestic connection to the grid is a single phase, so you'd need 1 fridge size.
Exactly. 1 for a normal house and 3 for a large house if you've got a mostly electrically driven house rather than a gas-driven house.
Wow. Cost, dare I ask?
The actual storage device is a similar cost to a lithium-ion system of a similar capacity. There's a few unique differences, though. The first one is that it's predicted to do 1 million charge cycles.
So it's going to last a lot longer than a battery.
Yeah, the cells have a 45-year design life.
Whereas household batteries will last about how long?
5 to 10 years is the predicted life, depending on how well they're treated.
So a supercapacitor installation the size of a fridge for a typical house will cost the same as a household battery, but will last many times longer.
Yeah, and it also has no explosion risk and no fire risk because there's no electrochemical reaction going on. It's just electrostatic storage.
Is it maintenance-free?
It is. No maintenance required. You basically turn it on, close the doors and come back in 20 years.
So why have you only just done one?
Well, we just got the first shipment about 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
And the next shipment's coming in just early April, which is the first commercial shipment. There's about 60 units coming in.
Are they all already spoken for?
All pre-sold, and there's another 100 coming in 4 weeks after that, and half of those are pre-sold as well. So everyone in the energy industry who's selling chemical batteries is considering changing to supercapacitors for obvious reasons.
So the future is here?
They're just here now, so it's not a question of one day we'll develop a supercapacitor that will do
this.
No,
they're developed. You're telling us they're commercially available. So what do we say to Elon Musk and Tesla?
Well, if you start Googling Elon Musk and supercapacitors, you'll find he's all over it already, saying one day we'll be putting supercapacitors in our cars.
So the South Australians have just gone big time for batteries. That's going to last, 5 to 10 years tops. But should Victoria be thinking instead about building a supercapacitor facility with a solar farm rather than anything else?
Exactly. We're already talking to the government about it now. So because you can charge and discharge it almost indefinitely, you can also charge and discharge it at almost any rate. So we've tested it down to a charge rate of 6 minutes to full. So we can fill it and empty it in 6 minutes, which is incredibly fast compared to a chemical battery.
And just finally, for those days when there's not a lot of solar power being generated, you say you keep the connection to the grid to export, but you'd also have your connection to the grid in case you need to import, wouldn't you?
Exactly. And you can also then just buy the cheap electricity. So we can program the inverters to log in and draw power when power is inexpensive.
Or you could run a little windmill, a little domestic windmill. Would that also then be an alternative? So you use the solar when it's sunny, but if indeed you're in the middle of some bad weather and there's no solar generation, you have a little wind turbine.
Yeah, and we can connect onto it any kind of generation device. So it can be
a bicycle,
a generator, a bicycle, a wind turbine, micro hydro, anything.
Oh, wow. My brain's threatening to explode. Paul, that's been absolutely fascinating, and the text messages confirming that others are feeling the same way. Thank you so much for explaining so much to us.
And one more thing I'd like to add, and that is the fact that it's 100% recyclable now.
So at the end of its working life, it's not
45
landfill.
Years' time. You can bury it or you can just recycle it because it's just carbon and aluminium. So there's no chemicals, there's no toxins, it's not dangerous. I actually just flew in from Dubai just the other evening, I think it was two nights ago, and I carried an 8 kilogram supercapacitor in my luggage without any complaints by Qantas.
Thank you, Paul.
There you go.
Paul Wilson from building and technology innovating company Arvio, who's installed Melbourne's first supercapacitor house. That has just put my brain into a bit of a spin.